Our family.
Hello and welcome to Our Family, the series of podcasts brought to you by the Harleysville Fertility Clinic. When starting their fertility treatment, most of our patients are hopeful that it will work the first time. Unfortunately, this is not always the case, as some treatments can fail for no good reasons. Today's podcast is about the beautiful Divya, a patient I met after her failed IVF cycle. Listen to her fertility journey. Today, Divya tells us about finding Harleysville Fertility Clinic after having a miscarriage, tests, a collection, and further screening.
I'm married. I've been married for just over a year. So spending the first year of marriage in the middle of lockdown has been quite an experience.
You said you have a medic background?
Yes. I used to be a pharmacist, and then I went into academic research in the context of coming to the Harleysville Fertility Clinic and undergoing IVF. I do know a reasonable amount about the medications, underlying conditions that can cause fertility in men and women, something about the protocols. Saying that, I now know that there is a whole lot more about IVF and treatment that I don't know. And the way the field is expanding day on day, month on month, it's extraordinary. There is so much out there. And one thing I will say is that having a medical background does help me understand the nature of treatment, but there is no preparation, no help for the roller coaster that IVF is.
How come you chose HSFC? And how did you find us?
I had known for many, many years, more than 15 in fact, that infertility might be an issue in my case because I have quite severe endometriosis. When my husband and I met, in fact, we knew quite early on that we wanted to have a family together, and I explained about my medical condition, said that I don't know whether I would have to undergo IVF or not. And by some miracle, if you want to call it a fluke, I found out not long after we got married that I have fallen pregnant. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've bucked the trend. I can actually have children. And to say that we were both deliriously happy is an understatement, but unfortunately it wasn't meant to be. We found out at the 12-week scan that we'd lost the baby. There was no warning, there were no signs, and it came as quite a shock. What made things more difficult is after that, severe complications of the miscarriage that meant I had to have emergency surgery on Christmas Day. So as you can imagine, coming to terms with the loss of a pregnancy, the loss of a baby, and then all of the complications that came afterwards, there was not really much of a chance to heal. But as 2020 started, we hoped for the best, and we hoped that if we had gotten there before one, we could get there again. And we decided that if things hadn't happened for us within 6 months, mainly due to my age, because I am now 37 and I'll be 38 this year, the recommendations are that if you can't conceive after 6 months, that you should seek medical advice. And unfortunately, 6 months came and went, and we were not fortunate. And we decided to explore IVF. And unfortunately, when I consulted my GP to see if I would be eligible for NHS treatment, as lovely as my GP was, you realize just how little consensus and understanding there is about infertility and how many misconceptions there still are, even amongst healthcare professionals. And I was told, well, you still could get lucky. You've only miscarried once. And it's very common for a first-time pregnancy. And I thought, I was rushed to hospital in an ambulance, hemorrhaging. Once was bad enough, and I'm already going to be 37 this year. What complicated matters further still was that the pandemic was well underway. All healthcare services were either stopped, delayed, temporarily suspended, including IVF at the time, which, as I'm sure you remember, was absolutely devastating for thousands and thousands of families. We were very fortunate that when time came for us to look at IVF, the IVF clinics had started up again. And when we started to look at clinics, the Harley Street Fertility Clinic came up in our search. And I was very, very lucky in that I had known Dr. Venkat from childhood, believe it or not. I don't know what Dr. Venkat might tell you about me as a little girl. Hopefully nothing bad. But I had known that she was a world-leading expert in her field for many, many years, and that she was well aware of having endometriosis, about the complications that had developed over the course of its treatment. And I felt that after learning a little bit more about the clinic and knowing Dr. Venkat in a personal capacity, but also beginning to really appreciate just how well-respected she is in her field, I felt like I was in the right place to try and find the answers I was looking for. Both my husband and I, we underwent the baseline tests, and it turned out that I had diminished ovarian reserve, but in spite of my condition, I was borderline. And Dr. Venkat even gave us the option that we could wait for a few more months to see if we were able to conceive naturally, or if we wanted to start IVF, that we could. But she did advise that because I was borderline, and in view of my medical history, that if I could start sooner, the better. And for me, there was absolutely no question in my mind that I didn't want to leave it to chance. And having the medical background that I did, and knowing that age is, it's one of the key factors that can determine success and failure in IVF, we chose to start straight away. And we began treatment in July, in the summer. We got to egg collection by the middle of August, if I remember rightly. I couldn't be more grateful for the support of the entire nursing team at the clinic, especially Tanya, who did all of my scans. I'm not sure what she made of me when I asked to see the ultrasound scans to understand what she was looking for and why. And she was absolutely wonderful, and it gave me a sense of comfort in understanding a little bit more about what the clinical team were looking for when they did the tests and why. So we got to egg collection, and we got 8 eggs, and obviously the embryology team, they kept us posted at every opportunity. And I think that was probably when my husband and I really learnt or really began to appreciate the roller coaster that IVF is, and how for so many people you almost feel like you're playing Russian roulette when you realize that you may get a certain number of eggs, but that there's no guarantee that they will all make it. And we eventually ended up with one genetically normal blastocyst, and this was after the PGT test, which we chose to have. And Dr. Venkat, of course, guided us at every stage of treatment planning in terms of what tests we could choose, what were not necessary in my case, what would probably be a very good idea to have, especially given my medical history and given my history of miscarriage. And we thought how could we go from 8 to 1, even though it is a very good quality embryo. But we were very grateful and relieved that our little embryo was healthy, and the embryo was frozen. And in the meantime, I underwent immune screening as advised by Dr. Venkat, as it's been found that a lot of women with endometriosis can have immune system dysfunction. And sure enough, when my results came back, it turned out that I had elevated NK cell count and a couple of other markers that meant that there was some inflammation going on in my body, that I was prone to microclots, and all of which could have potentially contributed to the miscarriage, but may have also explained why I was struggling to conceive. We also found out that I'm unable to metabolize folic acid in the form that you can get in most pharmacies and even a lot of supermarkets. So I could have been having a textbook diet, eating very well, taking my antenatal vitamins, doing as I was told. And unfortunately, in my case, the folic acid just wasn't doing any good. After we found all of this out, Dr. Venkat advised me to start taking a modified form of folic acid.
The modified form of folic acid, is it absorbed by the body better?
So the modified form of folic acid that I was taking and I'm still taking now, it's already in its active form. So the body doesn't need to metabolize it specially to activate it so that it can obviously support embryo and fetal development. Whereas the folic acid that you get in the supermarkets and in pharmacies is the inactive form. And because I had what's known as an MTFR abnormality, so it's the gene that codes for the enzyme that metabolizes folic acid. So it turned out that I either don't have enough of that enzyme, or the enzyme in my body doesn't work properly.
Very interesting. So how did you find out about this gene?
So finding out about the MTFR gene abnormality was part of the immune screen that Dr. Venkat advised me to have in view of my background medical history. So that test checks for markers of immune system disorders, for inflammation, for clotting disorders, because all of these may go some way towards explaining why some women have recurrent miscarriages or why they may not be able to conceive very easily. Certainly for me, finding out these things wasn't a complete surprise, but it did give me a bit of closure to understand how I could have lost my baby at 12 weeks with no obvious warning, no obvious signs. So even though we were still swimming in the sea of unknown while we were on this IVF journey, there was some comfort in being able to come to terms with what had happened and what put us on this journey in the first place.
We would like to thank Divya for pouring out her heart to us. In the next podcast, she will speak about her embryo transfer, the 2-week wait, and about the support she received during her treatment, and about our team. A podcast by Delia Coral.